bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Well, as you know, I've been teaching on God's leading, and I've been working with the theme, Lead Me, Lord, and this is part three of my message, Lead Me, Lord. Leading or leadership requires making the right choices. As we rise in leadership, our decision-making systems must be sharper and more accurate. When you are responsible only for yourself and you make bad decisions for yourself, it's bad, but you are the only one who suffers directly. A few people may suffer indirectly, but you are the only one who suffers directly. When your leadership goes beyond yourself to include a wife or a husband and children, then your decisions impact not only on you, but on your immediate family. In your office, as you rise in leadership, beyond just the work you do at your desk to what you do for your team and for your unit or for your department or for your company or for a nation or for a church, the stakes become very high. If you're a pastor of 10 people, you can make decisions that affect 10 people. And if they're bad, only 10 people will suffer. It's bad, but only 10 suffer. If you're pastoring 1,000 people, then 1,000 people will be impacted. If you're pastoring 10,000, then 10,000 would be impacted. So the higher you rise in leadership, the sharper your decisions must become because of the impact that they have on other people. So how does a born-again believer receive guidance to make good choices for our lives and also as leaders? Because we are always going to be confronted with choices to be made. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I work with that person or not work with that person? Should I invest here or not invest there? Should I extend my company to a bigger platform or not? These are important decisions we make constantly in our private lives as well as our corporate lives. So that's what we're going to try to work out today. How do we hear from God? How does God speak to us? The way in which God gives guidance to his people in the Old Testament is a bit different from the way in which he gives guidance to his people in the New Testament. It's the same God. It's the same God, but the way he operates in the Old Testament is different from the way he operates in the New Testament. Not because God has changed, but the people have changed, and the covenant he operates with them has changed. In the Old Testament, the people had to go seeking guidance from the priest and from the prophet. In the New Testament, we seek guidance primarily from the Holy Spirit. And that is the difference we're going to explore today. So let's start with the Old Testament. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 27 and verse 18 to 21. Numbers chapter 27. Verse 18 to 21, this is an instruction that God gave to Moses concerning Joshua. Joshua is now coming into leadership. And this is what God says about Joshua and how he will receive guidance as a leader. Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 to 21. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, and that all the congregation of children of Israel may be obedient. Now note verse 21 carefully. He, that is Joshua, shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. Now, Joshua is the leader, or is going to be the leader of Israel. And God says to Moses, put Joshua before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him. But he says, at the word of Joshua, they will go out. At the word of Joshua, they will come in. In other words, Joshua is the one determining what happens to Israel, where they go and where they come. But then the decision that Joshua arrives at is going to come from Eleazar the priest, who shall make inquiry through the Urim. That's very important. Note that very carefully. Joshua is a leader, but his guidance comes from the priest. Now let's look at another passage. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. This has to do with another leader in the making. Joshua is a leader in the making. This is another leader in the making. He's Saul, and at this time he doesn't even know that he's a leader in the making. He's looking for his father's lost donkeys. And they come to a place of despair. And this is how the story addresses it. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer. For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Now, I want you to note the phrase, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer. Or let us go to the prophet, because the prophet was then called a seer. So, in the two instances of two important leaders, Joshua and Saul, we see the two main ways in which the Old Testament gave guidance. So let's look at Old Testament guidance. Under the Old Testament, God provided two main ways for the leaders and the people to receive guidance from him. First, inquiring from the priest. Inquiring from the priest. So if you wanted to know the will of God, you went to the priest. And the priest used what was called the Urim and the Thummim. Now, the Bible doesn't fully explain what the Urim and the Thummim was, but what we know is that it was a guidance system that was used by the priest of Israel. The Urim and the Thummim provided guidance by answering yes and no. It was just a yes and no. So should I do this? The Urim and the Thummim would say, well, yes, do it. Will I be successful? It would say yes or no. So it only answers yes and no. It doesn't give you further details. So if you want more details, you have to inquire more to get the details. And you see it a lot in the Old Testament, where people were seeking for guidance. They would ask, should I go? Should I do it? Should I not do it? Will I be successful? And they would get a yes and no answer. So the Urim and the Thummim just gave yes and no answer. That was operated by the priest, not the prophet, the priest. So if somebody wanted to inquire of God, he went to the priest, and the priest would inquire through the Urim and the Thummim, and he would know whether he should do it or not. Second way that they receive guidance under the New Old Testament was inquiring from the prophet. And when they went to the prophet, they received divine revelation. The prophet's guidance came primarily through seeing. Seeing, that is through dreams and visions. And the prophet would give clarity. Inquiring from the prophet gave more information than the Urim and the Thummim, because the Urim and the Thummim would say yes or no, but the prophet could give you more details. And in the story we read about Saul, when he went to inquire of the prophet Samuel about the donkeys that have been lost, he got more than he bargained for. Samuel told him, well, the donkeys are safe, but there is a higher purpose for your life, and eventually Saul is anointed king. This is a prophet speaking. Now, if it's Urim and Thummim, it cannot give you that detail to just say yes or no. If you don't ask any question, it doesn't respond to you. So, primarily, under the Old Testament, if they wanted leadership or guidance, they want to know the mind of God concerning something that is not clear to them, they go to the priest or to the prophet. Now, if you understand that, then you can understand why Saul eventually resorted to mediums and witches. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 24, 28, verse 4 and 6, it says, then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. So in Saul's mind, if God is not giving me answer by the priest or by the prophets, there is no dream, there is no vision, the Urim and Thummim are not working, then I have no guidance system. There's nothing I can do, because there's no other way to receive guidance through except through these ones. So he had to go to a medium, to a witch or a wizard, to receive guidance. I'm not approving of it, but I'm telling you, the guy was frustrated because he wasn't hearing from God through the approved ways of the Urim and the Thummim and the prophet. And those two avenues were shut. So if you were living in Old Testament days and you were going to make a very important decision, and there was no clarity about that decision in the law of Moses, you had to go to the priest or you had to go to the prophet. If you went to the priest and you didn't get an answer, you go to the prophet, you don't get an answer, then you are on your own. Now, in Saul's case, he's going into battle. He needs to make a decision, but the avenues are not working for him. The avenues are not working. Now, sometimes people can get to situations where what they know to do to get an answer is not coming, and they resort to all kinds of answers. And it's not right to do that, but I'm just explaining what happened to Saul. So that's the Old Testament. Now let's look at the New Testament. How is the New Testament guidance system working? The Old Testament is through the priest and the prophet. In the New Testament, how is it supposed to be? Now, the New Testament guidance system was first prophesied in the Old Testament and then fulfilled in the New Testament. So I want us to read the prophecies that spoke about how people will receive guidance in the New Testament, and then we'll see how it actually worked in the New Testament. So Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. Ezekiel is prophesying about a new era, the New Testament era. He's in the Old Testament speaking about the New Testament. And this is what he says, God is saying through Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you keep my judgments and do them. Interesting. Then Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, which is what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. Joel chapter 2, verse 28-29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my handmaidens, or my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Very interesting. And Peter quoted this in Acts chapter 2 after the Holy Spirit came. Now let's see how that works from a New Testament verse. And in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now you can put it another way and say, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God or daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, instantly, you see there is a big difference between the Old Testament guidance system and the New Testament guidance system. The Old Testament, you go to the priest and to the prophet. The New Testament, it's a whole new kettle of fish. So what do we learn from the New Testament guidance system? The first important thing you learn is that all can be led by God. All. Note the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not only for priests and prophets, it's for all flesh, sons and daughters, old and young, men servants and maid servants. And Romans 8:14 says, as many as. So instantly you get the impression that whereas under the Old Testament, the average person could not directly discern the will of God and so had to go to the priest and to the prophet, in the New Testament, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's for the young men and the old men, the maid servants and the men servants, to the sons and to the daughters, as many as. So the guidance system in the New Testament is not restricted to the priest or to the prophet. It is as many as. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How many of you have flesh? Even if you are thin, you have flesh. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How many flesh? All. And to qualify the all, he says, your sons and your daughters. I'm a son. I'm sure everybody here is a son of somebody and is a daughter of somebody. How many is a son, daughter? All right. So if you say all flesh, you say, well, I'm not sure whether I'm all flesh. You say sons and daughters, at least you're born by somebody. And say, well, I'm not sure whether I'm born by somebody. Young and old. Are you young or are you old? Well, I'm not sure really whether I'm young or old. Maid servants and man servants. It is inclusive. That's what the Bible is saying. It says, when this era comes, you're not going to hear from God through another person, but I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He didn't say the prophet shall prophesy, for he says you will prophesy. Who is going to see the visions? Your sons and your daughters, your old men and young men, they shall prophesy. Even the maid servants are going to hear from God. Maid servants are hearing from God. Man servants are hearing from God. Sons and daughters, they're the ones seeing the vision. So you see instantly that the way God speaks to us in the New Testament is very different from the way he did it in the Old Testament. Very different. Now somebody's going to say, but it's in the Bible. Yes, it's in the Bible. But it's different testaments, different eras, and how God dealt with different people in different eras. Shall prophesy. So all can be led. How are we led? Two main ways. One, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is the big deal with how God guides his children in the New Testament. He does it through the Holy Spirit. Now you say, how big is this? It's big. How big is that? Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon the priests and the prophets. And sometimes the kings, when they were anointed. So, if you wanted to find a person who had the Holy Spirit on him, you go to the priest, you go to the prophet. The general people just followed along. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is not restricted to the priest and the prophet. The Holy Spirit is upon all flesh. So far as a person is born again, has given their life to Jesus Christ, Jesus lives in their hearts, their sins have been forgiven, that person is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit who indwells you is your guidance system. He's going to lead you. So that's first, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Second, is through the believer's own renewed spirit. The believer's own renewed spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit dwell in the believer, but the spirit of the believer himself that has been born again is receptive to God. So, the Holy Spirit guides you, and your own spirit also guides you. They are very close, but not exactly the same. The voice of your spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit are not always one and the same. There is a distinction there. Your spirit can encourage you. Your spirit can lift you up. Your spirit can motivate you. Your spirit can when you are down, your spirit can stir himself up within you and be glad. Now, have you ever sometimes felt totally down? Everything is down, but somewhere inside you, there is something in you that seems not to be down. Inside you, you can't figure out what it is. The spirit in you can be encouraged. And I'm going to show you how that works. And that does not always mean God is speaking to you. So you have to know the difference. Now, that's a familiar passage we've looked at, and I want us to go back to it. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8 to 6. We've looked at it previously, but we'll go back to it. You know, you can do surface mining with a scripture, and you can do deep mining also with a scripture. Okay, let's leave it that way. You know, so I can take the same scripture and do surface mining, and then later take the same scripture and do deep mining. So I've used the scripture to do surface, now we're going deep. All right. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 to 8. It says, now you know the story. I've preached about it. If you didn't hear it, go and buy the tape. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Very interesting statement. The soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? This is the Urim and Thummim. Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. There are two things happening here. And I want us to get this right, because it's so important in your guidance system. So critical. So critical. the first thing you would notice is the passage says David encouraged himself in the Lord. It is what I call spiritual motivation or spiritual self-motivation. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. We are not told how David did it, how David encouraged himself, but it's likely that he did something different from the people. You know, the passage says that the soul of the people was grieved. So, calamity has come, and inside the people, they are grieved. When people's souls are grieved, you can't console them. So whilst the people are grieved, the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David do that? The experience is bad. Everybody is discouraged. People are depressed. And David is going through the same experience as everybody. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. So he did something at that time that changed his mood. Now, we are not told how he did it, but knowing David, he probably started singing a psalm to himself. He probably started singing a song about his soul. Rejoice, my soul, be confident in the Lord. And probably started quoting scriptures, or started recounting a testimony, or started singing a song. And all of a sudden, his mood changed, and the Bible called it encouraging himself in the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that he has direction from God. It just means that his mood is different from everybody else. He is an encouraged believer.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.